Good to be back here at Faith Baptist Church. Always appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to be here. Thank you, Brother Angel, for allowing me to be able to stand behind your pulpit this day. I was telling the young people and had a great time preaching to the teenagers today. And I was telling him, Nikita and I have been married now. It'll be 16 years this June, and I guess the very first time I met him when I was a Bible. I told Brother Andrew. He told me that I preached to him when he was a teenager in Pilot, and I said, there's nothing that makes me feel any older than for a staff member with a wife and family to tell me that he used to listen to me when he was a teenager, amen. But I used to listen to Brother Angel when I was a younger man, but I got to be around him, I guess, now for the last 15 years. Never forget, I was preaching a conference up in Elgin with Dr. Coral and Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then Brother Gomez made a couple of phone calls for area churches and said there's a young evangelist getting started. And Brother Angel allowed me to be able to come the Wednesday night after that. So he came to the meeting on Tuesday night and got to ride back with him here to Bourbonnais. And, boy, I certainly appreciate the influence, the impact, and the investment that he has made, not only in my life but in Nikita's life. And, Brother Angel, I'm forever indebted to you, and I appreciate you being so good to us. Amen. Always good to be here. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And I'll give you just the background of where the Lord gave me this message just not very long ago. I was preaching a revival at the Bethel Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio, the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And Tuesday night, I was in the motel room and just straightening up my tie about 5 minutes before the preacher was going to pick me up to preach that night. And my phone began to ring, and I looked on the phone, and it was my mama. And it wasn't anything unusual for mama to call me before church and just say, "Chris, I want to let you know I love you, and I'm praying for you." But it was a different phone call this time. My mom had been to the doctor that day just for a regular routine checkup, and now she was being rushed to the hospital because she had a heart attack there in the doctor's office. And my wife, for the last few years, has worked on staff there at our Bible college in Lexington, and I had to get back home to Lexington, flew back home that Wednesday, and boy, I was just kind of tossing back and forth, do I need to go or whatever, and Nikita said, "Chris, you just do whatever you need to do." And we've stayed at home at Thanksgiving, and she's made the meal for the college kids that that stay behind because of work. And so I stayed there on Thursday, and we ate the meal with the college kids. But, boy, my heart just began to break to think that my mom and dad were at the hospital on Thanksgiving, and they had to depend on hospital food for Thanksgiving. So Nikita made a big old to-go plates for my mom and dad, and I left Lexington and I drove to Memphis where my mom and dad were and spent Thanksgiving with them. My mom got out of the hospital a few days later, and I'm thankful for that. But it was only a couple of weeks after that, maybe only a week or 10 days after that, Nikita and I were in Columbus, Ohio, and we were Christmas shopping with some friends. And been trying to call my mom for the last 48 hours, and no phone call. She made a commitment to me that me and my sister, that I would call at 9 o'clock in the morning. She would call, my sister would call at 4:30, and that way we could make some kind of contact with her. And my dad's coming down with the early stages of dementia, and so hadn't heard from my mom in over 48 hours. And I had my nephew go and check on my mom. And my mom was conscious, but she didn't even know that she was in the world. We called 911. The ambulance came to pick her up. And as Nikita and I just began to come back from Columbus back to Lexington, the nurse there at Baptist DeSoto in Horn Lake, Mississippi, called me about 11 o'clock that night. She said, "Mr. Dallas, if you want to see your mom alive, you better just go ahead and come to Memphis now." Nikita and I got there at 5 o'clock in the morning. As we walked inside the emergency room, the doctor was there in the room, and the doctor didn't give me a status on my mom. He just asked me a question. He said, "Mr. Dallas," he said, "have you talked to your mom about her final wishes?" My answer was no, because we hadn't talked about that. And he said, "Well, Mr. Dallas, she's probably not going to make it through the night." She not only, her heart was in AFib, she had pneumonia completely in one lung, sepsis running through her entire body, and she even had strokes while she was there in the hospital. For 4 weeks, as we canceled meetings and we began to just take shifts, my older sister and I watching my mom and just walking the hallways of that hospital. Nikita and I, when we began to drive through the night, one of the very first things I did as we drove through the night was I called the airlines and told them that I needed to cancel the flight that I had the next day, that I was flying to Richmond, Virginia. And the lady asked me, she said, "Mr. Dallas," she said, "could you tell me the reason that you need to cancel the flight?" I told her the reason, and right then and there, that lady, the airline representative, said, "Do you care if I just take time to pray for you?" She didn't know that I was a Christian. She didn't know that I was a preacher. She didn't even know I was a dog catcher or whatever. She just took time to pray with me. And she said, and in her prayer, she said, "God, I pray that you would let Brother Dallas," or no, she didn't say Brother Dallas, "I pray that you let Mr. Dallas realize that he's not doing this by himself. That lady had no idea who I was. I still don't know who she was, but when I find out, I want to certainly do something special for her. And that six-hour trip from Lexington to Memphis, God used a Delta representative to remind the gospel preacher that no matter what trouble, no matter what trial, no matter what fire I have to go through, I'm not going through it by myself. He's there every step of the way. John chapter 14, look at it with me. John chapter 14, would you stand with me this morning? John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. And I'm glad to testify Mama's still living, amen. She's even back to calling me Christopher DeWayne. That usually means I'm in trouble, amen. John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we certainly thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. And dear God, we thank you for God, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, thank you also for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to hearts, Lord, like you can. Lord, I understand completely no one under the sound of my voice has come to hear from Chris Dallas today, but Lord, they've come to hear from heaven. And I pray that that absolutely could happen. Lord, I do come to you tonight, this morning, and pray that if anyone here would be lost, I pray that you'd save them by the good grace of God. Lord, do the ministering work that only you can do. And we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are times in life, in the Christian life, when I find myself getting overwhelmed, but I'm glad that God is never overwhelmed with my problems. We find here in the verses that I read that the setting for this teaching is by none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he's teaching on the subject of the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus is in that upper room spending the last hours that he will ever have with his apostles before his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We find that Jesus is covering the major topics that those apostles will need to grasp before his death and filling them with the truths that will help them through the upcoming trials they're about to face. I believe with all my heart that one of the greatest blessings or one of the greatest helps the believers can ever receive, other than being saved by the grace of God and other than the Word of God, is to have the very presence of God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Now this morning, before I speak on this subject, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, I want to preface my statement so they can be understood in the proper context. As a born-again believer with a biblical worldview, you and I shouldn't wake up every day with the mindset that the only reason that God exists is to make our life happy, to make our life satisfied, to make our life peaceful. But can I say this morning, before I met Jesus, I had no idea what satisfaction was all about. I had no idea what happiness was all about. I had no idea what peace was all about. But can I tell you, my friend, that's not the only reason that God exists. The Bible teaches us that we were created by God for His pleasure and for His glory. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And as a born-again believer, we must learn to turn over the control of our life to the Lord and depend on God to lead us and guide us and direct us. And that can become a great struggle for those that are saved when we do not do that, because we'll tend to get angry. We'll tend to get frustrated with God when things don't go the way that we planned or the way that we expected them to turn out. And can I say, with the wrong mindset, we can begin to point an accusing finger at God and say, God, I'm not happy. God, You promised that I would be happy when I got saved. But again, we were created to please God and not for God to be at our beck and call just to make us happy, just to make us comfortable, just to give us a life without disappointment, death, or trauma. And as Bible believers, again, we believe that God created us for a purpose and God has a will for our lives. You understand, He does allow some things to come in our life to test us and strengthen us. And because we were created with the free will, God does tolerate some things until He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I, as a child of God, we shouldn't believe in fate. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe in chance. We believe that there's a greater purpose for all things in life. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8 with me. Romans in chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse number 28, a very familiar verse, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate. Now don't let that word scare you. What did He predestinate? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now we understand the Bible says that God predestinated for us to be made in the image and likeness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we understand, I don't have to tell most of you this morning, but can we all be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ left the portals of heaven and He came to a sin-cursed world, and in Him was no sin. And yes, He performed miracles. He allowed the blind eyes to see, the deaf ears to hear, the lame to walk, but He didn't come to perform miracles. He came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to lay down His life on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for all of mankind's sin. And we understand Jesus Christ paid the ultimate struggle when He died on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, if you and I are going to be made in the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, you better believe we're going to go through some struggles in life. I've heard of many of people say, Brother Dallas, I'm so excited about my salvation that I'm willing to die for God. Can I say, God's not asking us to die for Him. God's asking us to live for Him, even though we do go through some struggles in life. And the context for what I mean when I say that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to comfort the believer. Webster defines comfort as a relief from pain or uneasiness of body. Comfort is a quietness and an ease of mind when we're distressed. Comfort is that which gives us strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, or infirmity. And God offers that to the child of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Turn our Bibles back to John chapter number 14. John in chapter number 14. Child of God, can I say, it's not the absence of pain. It's not the absence of struggle. It's not the absence of tragedy. But it is a comfort to help strengthen us and support us while fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 16. The Bible says that I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Number one, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ physically left His apostles, He promised them a physical replacement. That replacement is the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, if you would. That word Comforter refers to someone to run to our side and to pick us up. And that's what Jesus did while He was physically here on earth. And I'm thankful that He continues that ministry in heaven. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate, that's the same word that is translated as comforter in the Gospel of John. Jesus was the one who ran to our side. Now He's back in heaven, and He sends the Holy Spirit to do for us what He did while He was here on earth. Jesus is still our Comforter. The Holy Spirit is not a substitute, but thank God He's an additional one to run to our side when we fall into difficulties and troubles of life. I used to, when I was a younger preacher, I used to refer to the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead, but that almost belittles God the Holy Spirit, because by frequently we be reminded, God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son, and thank God, as a child of God, He lives inside of you and He lives inside of me. Not only the promise of the Holy Spirit, but look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Not only do we see the promise of the Holy Spirit, but number two, we see the people for the Holy Spirit. The people designated for the Holy Spirit, and those that are designated by Christ as being the recipients of the Holy Spirit are born-again believers. Can I say, my friend, if you're hearing the sound of my voice and you don't know, I've said this, your preacher has said this, all of us have said this, especially in these last few years that we've lived here in America. I don't see how anybody can live in these crazy and chaotic days that we've been going through without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and another president being saved by the grace of God. God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Can I say it's been crazy and chaotic for all of us? But thank God, I haven't taken one step along the way without Him being there every step. Amen. The people designated for the Holy Spirit. Number three, look at verse number 18. The Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Not only do we see the promise of the Holy Spirit, not only do we see the people designated for the Holy Spirit, but number three, we see the provision of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides the born-again believer as a relief from pain or uneasiness of body. Comfort as an ease and quietness of mind when distressed. Again, the Christian life is not lived in the absence of what we consider trouble, trauma, or tragedy. But the Holy Spirit comforts us in life as we live to please God and fulfill His purpose. Can I say today, dear child of God, I hope you see my heart. I'm not belittling the troubles and the trials and the storms of your life. But my friend, can I tell you, the provision of the Holy Spirit, He comforts us along the way while we go through those troubles. You understand that word translated comfortless, that refers to an orphan. And when Jesus Christ left, He doesn't leave born-again believers alone, helpless, and without care. He provides for us through the Holy Spirit. But sadly and tragically, many born-again believers, they go through life without ever experiencing the comfort that is available to them, because they either ignore or they neglect the Holy Spirit of God, and they do not utilize the gifts that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring comfort in our lives. And for the next few minutes, all that was introduction. For the next few minutes, I want to preach to you on the gifts that God has given the Holy Spirit to bring comfort. Look at Romans chapter 15. Look at Romans in chapter number 15. I'm talking about very bottom of the shelf, very elementary, but if we get a hold of this, there's some today that are going through troubles. There are some that have gone through troubles and you didn't handle them right way. And I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but may we all be reminded, every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down. The question today is not, will you and I go through difficult times? That's not the question. The question is, what will we do when we do go through the difficult days of life? Look at verse number 4, Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Can I say, number one this morning, I'm thankful God gave the Holy Spirit the Word of God to bring comfort in our lives. Amen. Child of God, can I say, one of the tools the Holy Spirit uses to ease and quiet our minds when we're troubled and give us strength and give us support in distress, difficulty, danger, and disease is the Word of God. And when we neglect to read our Bible, we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, many Christians, they neglect their Bible reading during those times where they need the strength of the comforter. Can I say, it's not time to watch Dr. Phil. It's not time to watch Oprah. It's time to open up the Word of God and let the Bible bring comfort. And I believe with all my heart, that same Bible right there that had power to bring conviction upon our heart and save us by the grace of God is the same Bible that has power to calm the storms of our life as well. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. It looks like some of you are not getting it, so we're going to read the entire psalm right here, right now. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 49. The truth is so simple today, you're going to think that you sat in junior church. But can I say, dear child of God, average 7.5 miles a day walking those hospital floors. And I can tell you, this right here is what got me through the troubles. And God doesn't love Chris Dallas more than He loves anybody else in this room. And your difficulty and your trouble and your trial may be different than what I went through, but thank God the truth is still the same. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 49. Look at verse number 49. The Bible says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quicken me. Child of God, how important it is for us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to use the Word of God to be our comfort in our affliction. The psalmist also said, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The psalmist also said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may draw near to God. I remember in the spring of 2020, when 10 meetings were completely wiped off of my calendar because of our country shutting down, because of the pandemic. And every morning, Brother Angel, Preacher Fugit and I, we would share different Bible truths that God gave us in our morning devotions. And I remember one morning I shared a truth with him. And I said, Preacher, I said, I've read that scripture time and time again, but I never saw the truth quite like I did today. And he texted me back and he said, Brother Dallas, many times God doesn't give us the truth until we go through the trial. And can I say, I'm glad that Bible's quick. I'm glad it's alive. I'm glad it's powerful, and it'll help us through our difficulties. Amen. Not only the Word of God, but number two, they all dovetail. But look at number two. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Look at Acts in chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a truth before I give you the second point. We all, those of us that love the Bible, those of us that are Bible students, we understand that Acts chapter number 9 is what we refer to the Damascus Road experience, where that Saul of Tarsus was issuing out threatenings and slaughters against the early church. And But God saved them by the grace of God. They're on the Damascus Road. Amen. And to the extent that Saul of Tarsus tried to stop the lifting up of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, the apostle, he turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. Amen. And Paul would throw men, women, boys, and girls in prison for lifting up Jesus. And after he got saved by the grace of God, he spent most of his time in prison for lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at Acts chapter 9. We find that Paul has been saved. We find that God puts two men in Paul's life to take them back to Jerusalem, Ananias and Barnabas. And look at verse number 16. This is what God told Ananias about this Saul of Tarsus that just got saved. He said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." You know why we never see Paul writing the words, "I quit"? You know why we never see Paul saying, "I recant, I'm turning my back on God"? You know why we do see him say, "For I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith"? You know why we do see Paul say, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities"? Is because Paul knew the sufferings that he would go through would eventually bring all the honor and all the glory to God. And child of God, can I say, we go through some difficult times. They're hard days. But it's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to recant. It's time to put our pegs down and say, "I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going on for God, even though I go through troublesome times." Look at verse number 31. Here's the point. Not only the Word of God, but number two, I thank God for this, the house of God brings comfort. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Can I say, thank God, the house of God brings comfort. And I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit was trying to comfort us in our time of need, but we thought we couldn't go to church while we were struggling with the news from the doctor or a heartache of a family situation. Can I say, child of God, it's never the God of heaven that tells you to stay at home when it's church time. It's always slewfoot Satan that whispers in your ear, "Just stay at home this time." You know why? Because he wants you to stay discouraged. He wants you to stay defeated. He wants you to stay despondent. But child of God, tell the devil to go back to hell where he came from. You're a child of God, and you're going to live in victory. Amen. Can I say the house of God brings comfort? The Bible and the local church are instruments in the hand of the Holy Ghost to bring comfort. And if we're not experiencing the comfort that God has promised, then we must not be availing ourselves to those things the Holy Spirit uses to bring comfort. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah. Isaiah. Only have 27 points today. No, two more. I'm glad he uses the Word of God. I'm glad he uses the house of God. I'm glad that God uses the man of God to bring comfort. Look at Isaiah 40. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We find here in Isaiah chapter 40, the Jewish captives in Babylon, they needed hope and comforting because of the chastening hand of God on their lives because of sin. And the instrument through which God is going to administer comfort is through the preaching of Isaiah. And I believe far too many of God's children, we don't realize the importance of Bible preaching. It's something that many of God's people think they can get by without. And what they're really doing is they're robbing themselves of an opportunity to be strengthened and blessed by the Holy Spirit. Child of God, can I say, that service that you choose to miss, it could be the very service where God uses the man of God to preach the Word of God to bring comfort in our lives. You ever thought about this? How many of us are saved by the grace of God? Do it Memphis, Tennessee style and raise both hands. Amen. You're saved by the good grace of God. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. You ever thought about this? You may go through a difficulty. You may go through a storm. You may go through a trial of life. You may never tell your spouse. You may never tell your dearest friend. You may never even tell the preacher. But you ever thought about this? The same Holy Ghost of God that lives in you, child of God, is the same Holy Ghost of God that lives in him. And as he's on his knees in prayer every single day, praying for you and your family specifically, as he opens up the Word of God, he begs and asks God to lay on his heart the exact message to preach to God's people. My friend, the Holy Ghost of God that knows the trouble you're going through is the Holy Ghost of God that will lay on his heart the exact message to preach to God's people. But child of God, it cannot help us if we're not here to receive the preaching of the Word. Can I say during the trouble, I understand, I'm not belittling, listen to me, my friend. I understand there's some that came in this church house today with a Bible tucked on your arm and as much as you can muster, put a smile on your face, and you're going through difficulties and you're going through trials, and some of the hardest things you have to do is step in the church house. But can I say it's the best thing you can do, because my friend, God uses the house of God to bring comfort. And number four, and I finish, turn your Bibles to Philippians. Turn your Bibles to Philippians. Turn your Bibles to Philippians. I'm glad God uses the house of God. I'm glad He uses the Word of God. I'm glad He uses the man of God. I'm pretty particular to this one. I'm glad God uses the family of God to bring comfort. Look at Isaiah or Philippians chapter 2, verse number 19. Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he had served me in the gospel." Paul was sending Timothy, his son in the faith, to go and get the report and bring it back to him. And he said, "I don't trust anyone except this son in the faith, the family of God." I love my blood family, and every single day I pray for every single one of them. But if I were transparent with you this morning, which I will be, there's some in the family of God that I have more in common with than I do my own blood family. These names may not mean anything to you, but I thank God that I can go to my local church each week. And as soon as I walk through the back door, a good golly deacon, brother by the name of Brother A.G. Tyra, every time I walk by him, he'll say, "Brother Dallas, I just want to let you know I've lifted your name up in prayer every single day." I thank God for a brother Chenault. You don't know who he is. Maybe somebody does. He always comes and puts his arm around me, whispers in my ear, "I want to let you know I've been praying for you, my big buddy." I don't like to be called big buddy, but I like those comforting words. Amen. You know, I don't want to be a gift in the hand of the devil to sow discord. I want to be a gift in the hand of God to help bring comfort to the family of God. Can I say, let the family of God bring comfort to you. Child of God, I ask you today, everything is going fine for you right now. You're on the mountaintop as far as physically and financially, and the car's running fine and the kids are behaving and everything's fine right now. But you know somebody in the church house that going through a difficult time. It may just bring comfort to them. You just put your arm around and say, "I want to let you know I love you. I've been praying for you." You say, "Oh, Brother Dallas, they already know I love them. They already know I'm praying for them." I don't know about you, but every now and then it's just good to hear those words, isn't it? I'll finish. Reminded of a story I heard years and years ago. A little country town, only had one little stop sign in the town. Had one little good gospel preaching Baptist church. Had one doctor's office, just one of everything, really. Little grocery store. And there was a fellow that was a member of that little Baptist church in town. And he had a terminal illness and he was dying. The doctor was also a member of that church, and the two were best friends, closest friends, known each other since they were little boys. And the terminal ill patient was inside the doctor's office one day, and he was just getting a regular routine update. And all of a sudden, he knew that his time was shortened here on earth. He knew that he was knocking on death's door. And all of a sudden, tears began to just stream down his face. And the doctor said, "Well, what's wrong?" And he said, "You know, I know I'm saved. I know heaven's my home." He said, "I'm not fearful of that." He said, "I'm just fearful of how it's going to happen. Am I going to die in the middle of the night? My wife's going to find me. I'm just a little bit fearful of the unknown." The doctor, who was trying to stay professional as a doctor, but also fighting the tears back because it was his dearest friend dying, he was trying to find the words to comfort his friend. And all of a sudden, the doctor's door comes swinging wide open as fast as it could, and it was the doctor's dog. And the doctor looked at that dog, and he said, "You know," he said, "when we die as a Christian, it's kind of like that dog that just ran in the room. That dog had no idea who was on the other side of the door or what was on the other side of the door. All he knew was his master was there. And can I say many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Stand with me, if you would, all across the building. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building. I wonder this morning, said, "Brother Dallas, everything's fine right now in my life. Everything's going okay. But Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and honest with God that knows everything anyhow, I have gone through difficult days in the Christian life, and I have not always handled them the right way. I've let the Bible sit idle without opening. I've sat at home when it was church time. I didn't take the man of God's counsel from behind the pulpit. Brother Dallas, I haven't always handled difficult days in the right way I should. And Brother Dallas, would you please pray for me when the next difficult day comes that I would apply these very simple truths to my life that I may go on for God's honor and for God's glory?" If that's your testimony, I wonder if you just slip up your hand good and high across the building. Hands all across the building. I see those hands. I wonder who would say, "Brother Dallas, would you please pray for me? I'm going through it right now. I'm going through troubles. I'm going through trials. I'm going through difficulties." And to be completely honest, Brother Dallas, I've considered just throwing in the towel. I've considered just giving up. I've considered just recanting on everything that I've lived for up to this day. And Brother Dallas, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm committed not to quit, but to continue to go on, even though I'm going through the fire. If that's your testimony, I wonder if you just slip up your hand good and high across the building. I see those hands. God sees those hands. God sees those hands. I wonder you're here this morning and say, "Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and honest with God that knows everything anyhow, you talked about the people designated for the Holy Spirit was those that were saved. And Brother Dallas, I don't even know that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me." Can I say, if there's never been a definite time and a definite place, by faith, you put your trust in the finished work on the cross of Calvary by Jesus shedding his blood for all mankind's sins. Can I tell you, my friend, quite frankly, you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. I wonder, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, who would say, "Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and honest with God that knows everything anyhow, if I were to take my last breath in the next 5 minutes, I do not know that I would go to heaven when I die. Would you please pray for me?" If that's your testimony, I wonder if you just slip up your hand good and high across the building. Good and high. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, "Brother Dallas, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved." I see that hand. I see that hand lifted. This is what we're going to do. Here in just a moment, I'm going to instruct the pianist to begin to play. And we're going to have a good old-fashioned invitation song. And when the piano begins to play, many of us raised our hand that we haven't always handled the troubles and trials of life in the right way. There's some that are going through troubles and trials right now. Many of us raised our hand on those questions. I'm going to ask us, if we're physically able, all across this room, why don't we just meet down here at this old-fashioned altar? Maybe that person that's going through a difficult time is not here right now, but why don't we just spend some time praying for them at this invitation? at one that raised their hand and said, Brother Dallas, I don't know that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. When others step out and come to this old-fashioned altar, why don't you meet me right down front here? I'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt, no ifs, ands, and buts about it, that if you were to die, heaven would be your home. As she begins to play, the comforter's come. He's ready. He's willing to minister to you right now through your difficulty. Don't neglect him. The Word of God, the house of God, the man of God, and the family of God.
If you're not sure you're saved, if you'll take one step to the aisle, make your way down, we'll have somebody with a Bible show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Obviously, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you come? Would you just step out in the aisle and come? We have somebody that can show you how to be saved this morning. It's the greatest day of your life. Salvation opens the door for you to experience everything this preacher preached about this morning. The comfort that God makes available. It's a chaotic world. You know that. Let's turn it over to Him. Would you come and trust Christ this morning? Would you come and be saved? Would you just surrender to the Lord? Just one step to the aisle. Would you step out and come this morning? We have time. Somebody might even come with you. Bring you down. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved.